All right. You're listening to Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Happy Saturday. I'm so excited to be here. I have a co-host, my guest, April Kageya.
Hey, y'all.
Bomb 101. She is a Dane County supervisor in Middleton. I know. I have no idea what district that is.
15.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what that is. But she does a whole lot in our world. She's just bomb.com. So she's going to join me today, and we're just going to be black because we like to do black jobs. So today, we're going to focus on black jobs with my girl, April Kageya. So, April, one of my favorite people in the world. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm actually doing really good.
Yeah,
I've been doing like all this intentional stuff with taking care of myself in my black job with my black people who work black jobs. You know what I'm saying? So we, the results have been really, really good.
Oh, okay, what have you been doing to take care of yourself?
I've been meditating every morning, which has been very helpful.
Okay.
I'm back in the gym.
Wait, you stopped going to the gym?
Girl, yeah, like for
really?
Months.
Oh,
you didn't see
that.
Me get a little chunky.
No, girl, no, you looked at me. That's because
That's because I was wearing that faja. You know, everybody needs to purchase them a faja. So people be looking at me like, oh, girl, you look all good around the waist.
Right.
Because I shop at Amazon and I buy fajas.
Send
okay.
Me the link.
I will. Okay. Because a faja will snatch you and lift it too. Because, you know, I ain't got no booty, but it'll smooth it out and lift it a little bit. So it look like I got a booty because, you know, everything nowadays is about the booty.
Yeah. See, I got too much. I just need to like
snatch
it.
Yeah, just snatch it a little bit.
Okay, put the link in the comments.
Okay, yeah,
too,
I got
so
you.
I go back later and
yeah,
look
I got
at
you.
It.
Okay. Amazon. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me what you've been up to.
What have I been up to? You know, just. Ooh. Oh, sorry.
Luke, this is why you can't
I do this
just,
every time I come here.
You can't
here.
Just bring anybody on the air, Luke.
I know, every time I come here. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Luke, good. He good.
Probably gonna be my last time on the show.
Right.
You know, I just been working and, you know, just enjoying the summer. It's hot. I've been traveling a lot.
Good. But Luke's gonna tell you to put your mouth closer to the mic and
like
keep
that.
It. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm trying to get this out the way because I was criticized earlier
yeah,
by
you
Brandi
were.
That
you were.
The thing was covering her face.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Even, oh,
it's all good.
This is YouTube. Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's
I'm like,
okay.
But we're live over
they get
here.
One eye. They can get one eye on YouTube.
Okay.
Look at my one eye. You can see one eye right there.
I'm trying to see, but that's not even mine. That's yours.
Oh, okay.
Girl. She was yelling at me for something that wasn't even anyway. Yeah. Been traveling, took the kids to New York.
Oh, nice.
Richmond, Minnesota.
You got money.
I was in Chicago yesterday with Tyson. Or not yesterday, Wednesday.
What y'all doing there?
We went to see AC Milan and Real Madrid.
I know, have no idea
it's
who
soccer.
Those people are.
It's soccer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a big soccer thing.
Okay.
And then I'm going to Vegas next week.
Dang.
With Jalen. And yeah, just been, you know.
Man, you
trying
got
to live my best
life.
Life.
I wish I had a life like that.
But look, money comes and goes. You know, tomorrow's not promised, so.
My money be coming and it be going real quick. It goes
but
so quick.
I'm just saying, like. You know.
Right, make it happen.
You never know.
Make it happen. I need to get rid of some of these kids and I could make it happen. I'd be wanting to travel and I look at the budget for all everybody. I'd be,
That's why you drive though.
Right. Mm-mm.
We have to drive. We drove to New York.
Oh, heck no. Ain't nobody got time for all of that. Well. I'm gonna leave these kids behind. That's what I'm gonna do. Get in the little coach.
That's why you might need to get 3 or 4 black jobs so that you can, you know what I'm saying, afford to you, try.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying. So one of the things me and Clyde have been doing on Black Conversion Show for folks who are tuning in on 92.7 FM, we've been starting off the show. And wait, hold on. Let me just pause for a second. Clyde, I sent a text to him last night and said, hey, Clyde, you're going to be available for tomorrow? You're going to be on time? Oh, yeah, yes, sis. Thank you for checking in with me. I'll be there. I have another prior appointment, but I for sure be there about 9:15. What time is it?
9:42.
So this is what I'm saying about black jobs, okay? Is some black people don't show up on time for their black jobs. And this
Wait, were you on time today?
No.
Okay,
so
I just wanted to
we
check
wasn't
in.
Talking
okay.
about me,
okay?
Because you see what I'm saying? You see how people be trying to...
Nah, if we gonna call people out, you know what I mean?
All I'm saying is we was focused on Clyde. We are focused on Clyde and how he didn't show up for his black job, okay? Mm-hmm. We weren't talking about me. Goodness, April. God, I can't, you know what?
But you know this is how I am.
I don't even want to talk about it
you
no more.
You know this is how I am, though. Like, this is not a surprise.
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm not inviting her no more. See, this is what happened.
I told you this is probably going to be my last time. I knew it. It's fine.
I don't like for people to be around me and hold me accountable. Did nobody tell you to tell my business to these listeners? Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, back to Clyde. Clyde did not show up this morning. Clyde, so I'm going to call you out, Mr. Co-host, Mr. Cousin Clyde. It's okay, because I'm thinking, matter of fact, you know what, April, you could come back. We're just going to replace him. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, April's my new co-host.
Okay, you know, Clyde, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You know what I mean? We're done with you being disloyal. Wait, is disloyal a word?
It is today.
Okay, well, disloyal it is. I think it is a word. Because, you know, I'd be confused. Is it dis or in or, you know, like
I
what?
I think it's dis.
It's disloyal.
It's
okay.
Dis. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think in loyal would make sense because it'd be like you were into something. But I don't think that's it. Okay.
Right, yeah,
don't worry about it. Mm-mm. But one thing we were doing, me and Cousin Clyde, we were starting off the show with talking about love and Black love, because love, in my opinion, especially for people known as Black, is political, you know, and this station technically is a political station. You know, we're owned by Civic Media, and we're all about democracy, progression, and like open-mindedness. So we decided like, yeah, let's start with Black love, because for people known as Black, love is a huge thing for us and is really challenging given the context of our existence and the systems that really teach us how to hate and how to not love ourselves, which then spills over in all of our people activity. So because you haven't been here in a while, April.
Because I wasn't invited. But
right. But now you're invited every Friday. Okay. So I don't even want to hear it. So if you don't show up, you're going to be, I'm going to talk about you like we talk about Cousin Clyde right now. Okay. So anyway, I didn't even think I put any like anything on the Facebook saying what we were doing today. Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so what about you? What is your thoughts around Black love, and what makes Black love political from your perspective?
The fact that it was illegal.
Illegal.
The fact that we weren't even able to show affection or even be in public with one another. Like we couldn't even read, we couldn't even write, right? So like the fact that now we're able to be in spaces and show affection, I feel like any sort of happiness is suppressed.
Yeah. And why do you think the system or our structure, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, I like to call it nowadays because my name for it changes about every quarter, right?
Okay.
So my name for it right now is the program, right? This simulation, right? The simulation, this thing that we're taught to be in. Mm-hmm. So why is it important for this program for us to to have our joy taken away, have our humanity taken away? What about that makes this thing work, makes the program work? Why is that necessary, I guess, is my question. Why is it necessary to dehumanize people known as Black by taking away their joy, taking away their love?
Because they don't want us to be in power. They don't want us to come up. They don't want us to, I get just that. I mean, look at slavery, right? Like the country was built on our backs, yet we're deemed as the negative. We're deemed as bad. The color Black is deemed as bad.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for us, there would be no country. I don't know. It's just,
it's a challenging question.
Yeah, I don't.
Because sometimes you sit back and wonder, and like as humans, why would we, as an individual or a system? Because by the way, listeners, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show, and all systems are made up of institutions. Institutions like marriage, you know, the criminal justice system, public education, the banking system. They're all systems, and those systems are made up of institutions like the criminal justice system. You have like the DA, you got the prosecutors, you got all these institutions that make the system run, right? And then these institutions are made up by individuals. So it's individuals with inside these institutions, with then inside these systems that make this thing run. So at the end of the day, it's individuals who are making sure we maintain the status quo in this program.
It's just like general wealth. Like it keeps it's a cycle. It keeps happening. It's taught. It's just like racism. It's taught over and over and over. And people keep handing it down and keep, you know, keep perpetuating it.
Yeah, but do you ever, absolutely, do you ever wonder, like, how can people be so racist and so and homophobic, or so, they have so much passion and hate mm-hmm. towards another individual?
Like why?
Like, why? Like, I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, it's taught, it's handed down, it's institutionalized, it's indoctrinated. Yeah. We see it, we hear it, we taste it, we feel it. But the amount of hate that people have for people they don't even know... Yep. I don't have a word for it. Don't understand
it. I don't get it. And I, like, even with, like, the whole insurrection thing, or, like, Trump, right?
It's right.
Like, why you're following him based on what? Like, based on talking points, based on a head, like, but, like,
but he can't even
know
talk.
What he's even said. Right. And if you sit and ask them, like, why are you supporting him? I bet they can't even say.
Well, I think
same with racism. Like, okay, what about black people?
You don't
like what's the answer?
Yeah.
Like, that has what has been done to you personally? Like, there's probably nothing.
Right.
You know, like, it's, yeah, I can't even wrap my head around it. It's one of the, it's almost like a, I don't want to say brainwash, but like.
But it is, though, isn't it?
You think so?
Yeah, because how can you be so hateful towards anybody on that level?
Yeah.
You know, like, I've had people harm me personally, and I don't hate them at that level, right?
Yeah, right.
And I love me, and a lot of times I end up feeling sorry for them. You know what I mean? Like, dang, your life really sucks. You hate me that bad. And or you attempted to sabotage me, hurt me, or do something. You poor boo. You poor tink tink. You know what I mean?
Not tink tink.
A little poor tink tink tinky. But, like, on the level that some people hate people, and a part of me thinks it's related to Christianity and religion.
How so?
Because every time we, like, if you think about our system of colonization and colonizing different countries around the globe, it always starts with religion. And right now, these far right folks are really pushing national Christianism. Is it Christian? What is it, Luke? National
Christian nationalism.
I always get it backwards. Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
This sense of going back to no abortions, same-sex marriages, wives at home, you know, women lack, you know, control and a say in their body, but really removing people's autonomy, and it's based and rooted in religion. So I don't know, like, in I think we can talk
That's
about
crazy.
Religion when we get back and get real into this tea of the indoctrination of religion and how we've been bamboozled, and how some people are really allowing it to control
their
lives and their political views. So again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, with my co-host April Kageya. We'll be back in a few to talk about Christian nationalism and whiteness. Stay tuned.
Not the deep voice.
I'm so deep in my bag, like a grandma with a peppermint. They say, ooh, she smell good. That's just cause I'm heaven sent. Game goes stupid, stopping like a...
All right, we are back. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM WMDX. I got my co-host April Kageya in the house tonight. Wait, it ain't night.
Morning.
Obviously, I need some more sleep. So just for folks who are listening, just know you are listening to one of the best shows in town. And that's me, because I'm the hostess with the mostest. Okay. Anyway, so one of the conversations we were having prior to our quick break is on Christian nationalism. It started about love, and now we're going to move into Christian nationalism. The conversation really is, like, how can people hate someone so much, or a specific group of people so much, without even having any connections or relationships to it? So part of my thought is, I offered because of religion and the indoctrination of religion, and that religion has really been the foundation of wars and murder. I think I read somewhere that in the history of Catholic religion, I don't know how long Catholic mm-hmm. folks have been around, or when that religion was established, but I think I read somewhere that popes over the last few hundred years have killed over 80 million people.
Damn.
Yeah, they've killed more people than any war. I think
Seriously?
That's more than slavery. Yeah, because think about it. In order for systems and societies to form, they have to have, like, a basis for it, right? So, like, for right now, for example, in the United States, Trump and his conies and his snowflakes, because, you know, they like to call us snowflakes, but they're really snowflakes. His snowflakes are really pushing Christian nationalism and saying that they need to take back the country for God and for, you know, because yep. Jesus said they should. But this has been the reasoning behind wars since the beginning of time, is in the name of Jesus and the name of God or whoever your God
is. That's scary.
Yeah. Like, so I think somewhere I read that the French had taken arms against the British based on the same thing. And some people even argue that United States of America is Christian nationalism. Like, it's the government is founded on it. I mean, our money do say in God we trust.
It does.
But what God are we trusting?
Right.
The devil? The demonic?
And in this, so this NBC's news article from 2020, the title is "Racism Among White Christians is Higher Than Among the Non-Religious, and There's No Coincidence." That's just crazy.
I think it makes sense, because even like whether you're white or another race, studies continue to find that people who are religious, like really into like God and going to church, they're the ones that's most likely to pass someone in need. Like, if there's been studies, I think I learned this in school. And first of all, I was in school in 1990.
I was going to say what?
1999. 1990, 20 some years ago, but we ain't even gonna talk about that. But I remember taking a psychology class. I think it was abnormal psych at UW-Madison, and it was a really hard course, but I did really good on it because I love
you must have, if you remember what you learned.
I did,
not way back
much.
When.
Yeah, not too much, April, not too much. But one of the studies that I remember us reviewing is how religious people, they've done lots of studies about like homeless people pretending to be homeless and sitting outside of churches when people would leave Bible study or regular church functions, and how many folks who were coming from those services would walk past people in need, frown, or say things that were negative to people in need. And then they would do that on a regular street, you know, with not, you know, coming from church, and folks would be more prompt to help and to support people that were homeless. And I think what happens in the indoctrination of religion is that people see themselves as better than, right? I am God-fearing. I am righteous. I am the chosen one. I am the superior one. And that is really what Christian nationalism is based in, is this superiority complex. Like, I am better than you, which by chance is also what white supremacy is rooted in, right?
Yep.
So I think that's the challenge. It's like, religion oftentimes don't teach us how to embody the attributes of God, in a say, because we say, okay, God is loving, God is kind, because God is love, right? And God, you know, doesn't fear, God is not judgmental, you know, but at the same time, we say God is vengeful, God is a revengeful God. And if you don't pray to God, then God will strike you down, and you got to worship and pray and praise and worship, and you must supplicate to God and, you know, give your sins to God. What kind of God is that? You know what I mean? Like, we really think about it. And by the way, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, where we talk about things we should not talk about, and then you're going to listen and feel uncomfortable, but that's what we do, okay? So just keep listening.
I mean, that's how you grow. You got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. So one of the things, though, is like, the God that we say we serve, in my opinion, is often a God made based on and founded on human attributes. Like, human attributes would be judgmental or vengeful because you don't do what I want you to do, which is also incongruent to love. You know, because our conversation today started about love, right? What's your thoughts about religion and politics and all this stuff, April?
So I'm spiritual. I'm not so much religious. But yeah, I struggle with that because I have a hard time believing that there's one entity or one thing that tells everyone what to do. And then if you're not in a building praying, then you're not a good person, right? Like, to me, it's just, you can do good things in and out of a church or not, and you should not have to be, quote unquote, close to God to be able to do good in the world.
Right.
And then also, just in like skimming this article and then hearing what you're saying about that study, it makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah.
Because initially I would have thought, okay, people who say they're Christians are generally...
Do better.
And they perceive themselves as like, oh, I would never do that. I'm a Christian. And then reading this, I'm like, oh, no. And it makes sense with the study, right? Like, oh, well, I'm better than that. So I don't need to, you know, even associate myself with that.
Yeah.
And then also, looking back at the last election, mm-hmm. the Christian vote for Trump was very high.
Mm.
And that is like, wait a minute, that just doesn't add. The math ain't mathing
on
that.
It ain't mathing at all, which is also why our younger generations are moving away from church. You know, because mm-hmm. if you really look at folks who are voting for Trump, it's a lot of old folks, a lot of yeah. folks who are on their way to the grave. And I hate to say it, like I am, excuse me, to you who's listening right now, who I'm probably going to offend. But I just want to say, like, I'm interested. I ain't going to say I can't wait, but I'm interested to see what happens with the next generation of elders who die off, right? Because they're going to die in the next 10 or 15 years,
yeah.
right? Because, I mean, God, your God only allows you to live so long. So I don't know. You might want to ask him for more longevity.
Brandy.
But I'm just...
You could have just said old age.
Our elders. I'm on my way to be an elder, right? Like, I know that I only have so many years left in this, on this spinning spaceship, right? But one of the things I'm interested to see is how things change. Mm-hmm. If we pay attention to government and all that, everybody's so old. And it's like
shifting.
Old white
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
And a lot of our elders are not... They're not into this new age thinking, you know, this new age thinking of being inclusive and, you know, letting people self-actualize as they see fit and not caring what other people do. Like, mind your business, that mm-hmm. mind you mm-hmm. type of thing. And if someone's their choices in life isn't harming you, why are you concerned with what they're doing, whether you're religious or not? Right. Like,
right.
who cares
yeah.
what God you worship? As right. long as you ain't out here killing people, being pedophiles and hurting kids and going to war and making
exactly.
decisions that, you know, disproportionately impact vulnerable people who don't have the resources or privilege to advocate or stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
Do you, be you, do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a lot to talk about and a lot to digest, y'all. So we ain't done talking about Christian nationalisms, religion on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. When we get back, we're going to talk about, too, all these black jobs where black people are killing it.
Simone Biles in the house.
Okay, gymnast to our VP. Y'all, we about to turn the globe black. That's probably why these national Christian people, Christianism, want to get back to whiteness. But stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. All right, it's your girl on 92.7 FM, Brandy Grayson on the Black Conversion Show, the hostess with the mostest, the one that you love so much. And my girl, April Kageya, is in the house, and we've been talking about you white folks, Christian nationalism, and how it has been the bedrock of our religion, and how it is the bedrock of the Trump movement, and the Trump conies, and the Trump snowflakes. I can't remember what we left off at. Where we end at, April?
I don't know. But
I know we was talking
mad
stuff.
We ended talking about how we can move to black jobs and
black jobs.
Folks
okay, well, let's
taking
start.
Over.
Okay, well, let's start with one of the blackest. Some of y'all be doubting her blackness, but in
it's
our
crazy.
So let's first do this as a woman. As a woman, because I am a woman most days. Some days I could be a man, but you just depend on who you ask, because you know sometimes people be like, she's manly, but I'm a woman some mm-hmm, days, mm-hmm. and based on this chocolate black woman's analysis, Kamala Harris is black, okay? And let me show you why she black. So, Luke, let's do this thing and show our people why she black by playing the clip of her responding to Trump and her blackness at her black job, okay? I just think it's a great demonstration of what
yep.
blackness sounds like when black womanness shows upness, okay?
To work.
Okay, here we go.
Well, Donald.
Because you know when we say that, well.
And pause.
I do hope you'll reconsider to meet me on the debate stage.
Okay. Don't be a bok chicken head, Donald.
Because as the saying goes, if you've got something to say,
okay.
say it to my face.
Okay. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. So I don't care, y'all. I don't care what y'all say about.
Wait, could they hear it?
Yeah, they might have been able to hear it a little bit. I had the little headphones, but they made it.
Because
that's why I have it flipped. Sometimes they could hear it. But can we just say, like, that was one of the blackest thing she could have said.
Yep.
And April, our political analyst for the day, could you break down? Could you break down for our beautiful listeners why this was black, a black response?
Because he's talking all this stuff about her, right? On his rallies, on TV, and she's like, basically like, dude, you're saying all this stuff. We were supposed to have a debate. Now you're backing out.
Right.
Why don't you meet me on? Just say it to my face. And black people are like, okay, if you're gonna say something,
say it to my face.
Say it to my face. Like, don't hide. Don't type behind the computer. Keyboard. Right. Like, come on.
And back in the day, I remember back in the day growing up in Chicago. For folks who don't know, I grew up in the hood in Chicago. And when you wanted to fight someone, you would just go knock on their door, and you would say, knock knock. I heard you was talking about me. So if you got some stuff to say, come outside. Say it to my face, right? Because really, it's a call out. Out for that butt whooping, because it's about to go down. Because y'all know, if this woman meets him on the debate
it's over.
I just can't wait, because this orange man has a very hard time putting sentences together. His ability to articulate is not there. He speaks like he has to have a third or fourth grade education when it comes to grammar. Mm-hmm. And that also makes me wonder, can he write? Have you guys seen this man handwriting? Have you, Luke?
It's just Sharpie. Like, I just know that Sharpie? I've seen, like, the notes. He writes in, like, really big, like, when he signs things, it looks like, I don't know.
What?
His signature on anything, when he used to, like, to sign the bills and then hold them up when he was president. Oh, that was one of his favorite things to do.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember, like, you could tell that it was a D for Donald, and then outside of that, I don't know if you could, I don't know if I could really read any of the rest of the signature. But, you know,
the crazy part is, though, y'all, like, how could America ever elect a man with this level or lack of intelligence?
Because he has a following. It's fear-mongering. Like, he's able to create so much popular opinion based on lies that people follow him.
I just, you're right. And I just think.
And don't forget, he was a popular Celebrity Apprentice.
He was.
Which, unfortunately, I watched. I love that show.
I did.
I was a fan.
I was a fan. He was funny on there, but not in real life.
Right, not in real life. Nor did I think he was going to be a politician.
Yeah.
But people liked him. And like, oh, yeah, you know. And then he had money.
That's true.
So he was able to buy votes, just like some people in our county I'm not going to talk about.
Yeah, okay. People buy votes all the time around here. I think one of the people... let's stay focused. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to go there today.
I might in a minute. Okay. But let's stay
focused. Wait till I leave.
Because we don't want to get you in trouble because of my bull crap. So I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things I think, and I don't know the data on this, but I think Americans' IQs are going down. Like, they're not going up. Because some of the conversations that I see folks having is coming from a place that lacks critical thinking. Like, and a lot of it is like, have you been watching TikTok reels all day and listening to other people's analysis and reading memes and posts and thinking that is facts? Yep. Like, are you even reading a book? Are you even challenging your own thought processes or challenging what political people are saying about how to fix our economy or to support those who are most vulnerable? I don't think they are.
No, they're just going based on, like, literally a title of an article or the reel, and they're like, okay, that must be it.
Yeah, you ain't wrong, because I just be real confused. And enough on the white folks. Let's talk about the black folks and Trump, because I'm really confused about y'all. And like I said last time, no, like, really, because how can you be black and look black, talk black, got a black mama, got black kids walking around here and black children and black sisters and aunties, and still be arguing about how you're going to vote for a man who cares nothing about you, who showed up this week or last week at the Black Journalists Summit. Was that a conference or a summit? Luke, what was that, Luke?
It was the summer conference for the National Association of Black Journalists.
Oh, my God. And he was so offensive.
He was.
He was so offensive. And the way that he was talking at black people and questioning black people. And then how he said that Kamala's... blackness, she just chose to be black, and before that she was Indian. I almost fell out in the audacity and the caucasity of this man to say it in a room full of black people.
Right. And that's just the arrogance and the entitlement that he has.
Oh, my God. This orange person. If he wins, y'all, people who vote for him will make America an embarrassment for the whole nation across the whole globe. And the fact that this man is telling his Christian followers that they just need to come out and vote one more time.
I know, you never have to vote again.
You never have to vote again.
Like, how is that even a thing?
Because what he's basically saying is that we're about to end the U.S. Constitution. Oh, excuse me. In the U.S. Constitution and turn this into a dictatorship, so we're going to stop having elections. Now, I don't know the legal remedies around that or how that can occur, but he's basically saying that's his intention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show on WMDX. Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, and my co-host today, April Kageya. So we're just talking about whiteness, and then out of whiteness, we talk about blackness, because black people be swallowing the Kool-Aid and acting like it's cool. It's not cool, y'all. It's not cool to follow Trump. It's not cool to, I don't know. To me, it goes right back into the lack of black love, which is what this conversation started at.
And or self-love.
That's what I'm saying, which in itself is black love. Because if you're black and you don't love self, then where's your black love, okay?
Right.
And what are you projecting or demonstrating in the world for your children, your partners, and the people that you, quote unquote, say you love?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm living in a movie.
Twilight Zone?
A Twilight Zone. And we're like, the scripts are being written and we're watching them and we're like, what did he just say? Did she just say? And I'm not talking about people that are like politicians or have the privilege or the resource to get their words out. I'm talking about people on Facebook that I respected and like followed that I had to stop following. Mm. And because of some of the comments around black womanness or black women or Kamala, like, I'm not, did I say it right? Kamala. No, Kamala. Okay, Kamala, because I got to practice. Matter of fact,
play the clip.
Go ahead and play that clip, Luke, because we keep messing up on this black woman's name while she do her black job. And then we have folks who are saying, like, if you don't pronounce her name the right way, then you're part of the white nationalist Christian movement against her.
Some people are mispronouncing it on purpose to be disrespectful.
Right, and I, as a black woman, is not doing that. I just have a hard time pronouncing names, period. And if you know me, you know I could barely speak. I'd be out here teaching classes like, that's not the way you say that, is it? Okay, let me go back. I don't know if I missed a couple English classes, but my grammar is not always that great. It might be the Ebonics, and it might be something with my tongue or something, but just know if I mispronounce your name, it's not intentional. I mispronounce words, and people be like, oh, well, that makes sense, girl. Thank you for supporting me. But I didn't mean, one time I said explicit, and I meant implicit, and people was like, well, that made sense in a context. Girl, that is not what I meant to say, but thank you for your support. But anyway, Luke, go ahead and play the clip on pronouncing Kamala's name right.
It's not Kamala. It's not Kamala. It's not Kamala.
It's Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala's for our schools.
Kamala's for affordable child care.
That's Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris for Senate.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
All right, so as she pointed out, and our babies and their baby voices pointed out, her name is pronounced Kamala, like a comma, and then la. And matter of fact, let's just give our white boy Luke his props. He the one who just taught us how to pronounce.
Yeah, he sure did.
I didn't create that. Kirk Bangstad.
But you pointed it out because we were like, wait, how do you say it again?
That's the way that I remember it the best, because it's like, it's the punctuation mark and then la.
Yeah.
And Kirk Bangstad of the Minocqua Brewing Company.
Okay, yeah.
He made a stout.
I love him.
He made it, and it's literally on the can. It's I believe Ruby Bridges is Shadow and then Kamala's shadow next to each other, and the name of the stout is the punctuation mark, comma, and then la right after.
Okay, I see you. I met him the other day at Brian Potts, somebody I really love. He's an attorney in Madison. Shout out to you, Mr. Potts, at his nerd dinner that he had, and he had came to that, and that's where I met him at, and he was talking about his brewery and how he's been sued a few times.
Couple of times.
I said, a white man being sued for his liberal ideas? You my kind of white man. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Kirk owns Minocqua Brewing Company, and up in Minocqua, Wisconsin.
And he has a a liquor store, I think.
The tap room. He opened the home away from home tap room on Madison's east side now.
Okay.
But because he was kind of being very vocal with his political views and who he supported up in northern Wisconsin.
They didn't like it.
He's been going through a couple of lawsuits and things. But he makes good beer. And one of them, he makes them off of political figures. And Kamala is one of them.
Oh, that's good to know.
I don't like
Luke.
Beer,
thank
but
you
I have
that.
To go buy it. Just
right,
for that.
Right. I don't drink beer either. But for you... I come spend a couple dollars just in
that.
Support of you, okay? Them kind of white people, I like. Okay, white people,
go buy his beer,
right? You know, support our people, right? Because if you stand up and make a statement, or you know what I mean, against the Christian nationalism platform, then you're my kind of white person,
here
okay?
For us.
And now I might just invite you to the barbecue, but not the barbecue.
No, he can bring the beer.
Oh yeah, but not to the barbecue. He can come to a barbecue.
But it could be a trial barbecue.
Yeah, like a trial. Set
trial
up
run.
To see how you know, mess with black
how
people.
How the interactions go.
Oh my God. Did you, matter of fact, thinking of barbecue, did you ever see that movie Nope?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I did not like it.
It was kind of funky, but remember when the cop came? No, not the cop, or something about the barbecue, that white dude, and he was like, oh, now you can come to the barbecue. Oh, I trust you. Remember the question?
Girl, with that movie, I was so turned off by that movie. I was not impressed.
I just saw that movie the other day, and it was
like,
funny.
Really? I was like, nope, to the movie. Like, hell out of here.
Wait, am I thinking about the right movie?
Was it?
I don't know. Let's move on, because I get things real confused. Okay, y'all. So anyway, you're listening to me, Brandi Grayson,
and April Cookie.
And one of the things I just want to encourage us to do is, you know, not to get too excited or get too emotional or emotionally invested in these conversations about Kamala. Kamala. I did it again.
We had a whole lesson.
I did. And it still messed it up. Jeez whiz, Brandi. Because the thing about it, y'all, just for clarity, is that our whole foundation is based on the hate of black women. And I'm going to talk to you in a second about why. So you better stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We'll be back in a minute. All right, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. Oh my goodness, so we've been talking about a lot. My hostess, co-host, April Kageya, had to leave us because she had an appointment. So sending her lots of love and blessings as she's on her way to her appointment. But one thing I wanted to touch on before I get out of here today is the hate that women in general experience. There is one, Luke... Oh my God, I forgot to write down her name. But there's one woman that's in swimming, competing for in the Olympics, and people were calling her a man because of her. Oh my God, what is her name? Because of her hormone levels. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It wasn't a swimmer that
it
they
wasn't
were.
A swimmer?
It was,
swimmer?
I believe, a rugby or a box. Like, there's been, unfortunately, far too many of these instances where these athletes are getting
questioned about,
dragged. And,
yeah, dragged and questioned about their gender. But this is the thing about it. It is a demonstration and a manifestation of, one, the hate of women, and two, the hate of trans people, right? And trans women. Because, first of all, women come with different levels of hormones, right? Like, you can be born with increased testosterone, and no one questions a man if he has increased estrogen. And no one questions, what's his name, Mike Phillips, the swimmer, because of his limbs, or he had these, you know, different arms. I can't remember what they said. They were super long.
Yeah,
or,
Michael Phelps. He's like extra, like, he's got an extra joint
something,
kind of thing going on. He's double jointed in his arms.
Yeah,
and
which gives him an advantage.
Well, he's got really big feet too.
Yeah.
His body is just meant for swimming.
Meant for swimming. coming. Like, this is how he was built. But no one questions him and says, you know what? You shouldn't be competing because it's unfair to others who are not built that way, right? The way that he's built isn't like an average swimmer's build. He is very much biologically made to swim and have advantages. And so are some people in other sports, and specifically women. So instead of people just being like, okay, cool, good for you that God created you to do this thing, you chose the right pathway, and passion is more a criticism. So now they have to take tests and drug tests and respond to the criticism while they're trying to accomplish something that most of us cannot, and most people who are complaining or questioning cannot. And it reminds me of Simone Biles. Am I saying her name right? Simone Biles. I think I'm saying it right. Okay, because, you know, I got to check because I mess up people's name all the time, Luke. But it also reminds me of her. Like, this Black woman has the most medals. She's dominated in every field. She has made history. She is the best athlete in the world right now. Like, can't nobody touch this Black woman? And instead of concentrating on focusing on her accomplishments, guess what we do? And specifically people known as Black, guess what we do? We take to social media to talk about her edges. And for my listeners who are white and unfamiliar with edges, it's the hair of Black people that sits along the front of their hairline. And when you are natural, and natural, for folks who don't know what that means, for people known as Black, natural is when you don't have a perm or a relaxer or a process. Your hair is in process. It's natural. You wash it, you go, right? And sometimes she flat irons her hair or whatever. But when we sweat, when Black women, Black people sweat, our hair curls back up into its natural form. So we usually, what we do is put edge control. You can see it everywhere. We put edge control, slick it down, style the edges. But this woman is out here flipping, turning, dancing, doing performances. I'm sure she's hot. So what happens when you're hot and you sweat? Your edges kind of turn up. Instead of us congratulating this phenomenal human being and woman, we take to Twitter and talking about this woman edges. Y'all are out of y'all minds. And it is a reflection of self-hate and the hate of women. This woman is out here representing the United States of America, killing it, killing it, killing it, and doing the Black job she is meant to do. And all we can focus on is her edges. And she took to Twitter and responded by saying, the next time you feel the need to talk about a Black woman's hair, don't. I know she at home really wanted to say some other things, and I'm sure she cussing and fussing because y'all people is crazy. And that's the thing. When people known as Black are doing exceptional things in the world, we just hate it. And not just, and this is the thing about white supremacy and racism that I'm always talking about, that it's not about race. So my folks who are listening that are white and thinking like, oh, Brandy's always talking about white people, white supremacy is embodied by all of us. The self-hate, the inferiority complex, this idea that we often project on Black women and Black people of who does she think she is. I get it all the time. People are always constantly coming to me like, who do you think you are to say that, to do that, to accomplish this and that? Like, it's just crazy. So I just wanted to just, again, like, mind the business that pays you and be conscious of how you're showing up in conversations around people who are doing things that you could never do. You could never do or accomplish what Simone has done. You could never do or accomplish what Kamala has done. I think because now I'm so conscious of it, I'm actually messing it up more, but her name up. But anyway, that's all I got to say on that. So you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, your girl Brandy Grayson. For a couple minutes I have left with you guys, I want to remind you of something. I am the founder and CEO of Urban Triage, a local nonprofit organization serving the Dane County area. We do a lot of youth work, homeless work. We help people access resources. We help them get the paperwork they need to qualify for other services and supports. We also do advocacy. We also do after school programming. We also hold a lot of community events to engage and to create safe spaces and create opportunities for social connectiveness and networking and community building. A couple weeks ago, we had our kickback at Penn Park, which was an amazing event. We had some Black cops come and just support the event out of uniform. We had one cop stop in the office yesterday to tell me that he was so impressed by how we organized the event and how efficient it was and how much joy it was. And he's never been to an event that was so well organized in Madison. And he just wanted to stop by and give us kudos as an organization because he had heard so much negative things about us and how I hated police officers, but he's never been served the way that we served him at our event. And that's because we pride ourselves on serving the people that are in attendance, meaning that we walk around. Do you need water? Do you need food? Are you okay? We make sure that our elders and folks who are differently abled have access by providing them, you know, transportation on our golf carts. Like, we really go over and beyond for the people that we serve because we want folks to remember us from a place of humanity and centering humanity. So I bring that up because we have another event coming up September 7th, our Harvest Festival. And we haven't gotten any sponsors. We have no sponsors. Our event cost us $35,000 every year. Everything's free. We have arrowless jugglers, tightrope people. We have a live band coming from Milwaukee, cigarette break. We have complimentary beer and wine, and the festival is held at our farm where we grow organic produce and distribute it to our community for free. So I say that to say, support Urban Triage, please, y'all. People think we have money and we really don't. So hit us up at urbantriage.org. Shoot us an email at info@urbantriage.org or find me on social media, Brandy Grayson. You'll see the little profile picture of the flyer. So just remember to support the people who are doing the work. And I'll see you guys next week on the Black Conversion Show.